The following is a RockRadioShow.com exclusive.
Welcome to the Rack Extra Total Bellas edition right here on WildTalkRadio.com. He's Rock, I'm Lindsay, and we're back with episode 7 of season 3 of Total Bellas, where the wedding planning is in full gear, y'all. We're getting ready because we are weeks away, namely 8 weeks, 2 months from the wedding. Dom! And nothing has been done.
I like throughout the episode, it's we're on the literal countdown to the wedding. As there was one point in the episode, we have 6 weeks and 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah, they took this really, really seriously in terms of counting this stuff down. It was hilarious. So the show opens with the girls getting ready for the bachelorette party in Paris. Nikki wants to keep it classy. She wants no sashes, no penises, unless it's John's. So we're having a tasteful bachelorette party in Paris.
Tasteful, in quotation.
Tasteful. You know, because everybody goes to Paris for their bachelorette party. And then we get the helpful tidbit of the episode, which is that if you want your baby to stop breastfeeding, you put red lipstick on your boobs because babies don't like it. And this stems from the fact that Nikki was wearing red lipstick and she's trying to kiss Birdie, and Birdie did not want to give her a kiss.
Right. That is exactly a theory, maybe?
You are a breastfeeding mother, and you have tried this. Tweet us and let us know if this actually works, because neither one of us would know. Also, Nikki has 10 bridesmaids.
That is key.
To this episode. And the way she ended up with 10 bridesmaids is she basically sent out a group text to everybody in their little girls group. I was like, hey, you want to be a bridesmaid? And of course, everybody's like, yeah.
So she ends up with 10 bridesmaids.
Not that John couldn't find 10 groomsmen to fill out the wedding party, but 22 people, 23, 24 people.
That's a lot of people.
That's a big wedding party, not gonna lie. That's like a southern wedding kind of party right there, where everybody and your cousin is in the wedding. And I'll let you make any cousin joke on your own after that. Not going there. So basically, we're at Bree and Brian's, and they're, you know, in the guest house that was supposed to be Nikki's. And well, now they're going to turn it into Bree and Brian's personal Birdie Bee office. And so they're talking about what they want to do there. And basically, Nikki is over managing her bridal shower.
Yeah. She really
she's done with it. She's tired.
She is totally tired, done with it, and she's overdoing every single detail with it. And what was interesting, because for a while we were trying to figure out where the Birdie Bee office was, but now we know. It's the guest house.
So, because Bree is decorating the guest house, aka the Birdie Bee office, she needs things to put in it. So she decides to do one of my favorite activities, which is go antiquing. Yes, I'm weird. I love to go antiquing. But she loves art. She loves antiques. So we go to this cute little place in San Diego, Bree Camp Parallel Park. Feel that on a spiritual level. I can't either.
She was parking on the curb, legit on the curb. And you watch the camera and film it and watch her just park on the curb.
At least she got close. Somebody has to guide me in. I can't parallel park my car. I've had to do it once. It was not pretty.
But the cameraman could have went, hey, you're on the curb. But it's like, no, I'm just going to let
happen. No, her mother had that. Her mother got out of the car and was like, really? Like, really? And Bree's like, nope, not fixing it.
Anyway, continue.
What's ironic is I think that car can parallel park itself.
Probably.
She's driving a Lexus RX. I think that has parallel parking capabilities. I'm pretty sure it does. That's the really ironic thing about this whole thing. My car does not. That car that she's driving, I think, does. So basically, Bree believes that Brian would love the antique store because it's a form of recycling or upcycling where you're buying old stuff and you're giving it a new life. And that's technically true. You are. So Bree picks out a couple little things. She gets a cute little magnifying glass. She gets a little cloisonné's jar. And she buys an antique old style telephone complete with the ringer box. And, you know, basically she believes that, you know, it's going to be worth a lot of money in like 20 years because, you know, phones don't exist anymore. Okay. But I will say this, that like Lauren looked entirely unimpressed and like completely bored and slightly mortified to be there.
Yeah, very much so.
Like, she did not want to be there. She's, like, standing there with the baby, like, are we done? Are we done? Can we go? Are we done? Like, she wanted to be anywhere but there. So, we cut back to Nikki, and she's planning the wedding, and she's meeting with her wedding planners in San Diego. And well, John couldn't be there because he had he had other things to do. He was doing media, but he's also filming like 50 billion things. So he's very busy and he's not able to be a part of the wedding festivities in that instance. And Bree feels bad that Nikki's doing it alone. And it is awkward that she's doing it alone.
Oh, it is very awkward that she is doing it alone. His only appearance on this episode was playing the piano at the cold open of the show.
Yeah, that was it. That was the only time he was in this whole show. Like, she's essentially planning this entire wedding by herself, which, you know, takes the fun out of it, because the whole point of planning a wedding is to have your fiance there with you and you guys plan it together and you learn if you can work as a team or not. Like, it's a team building exercise. It's a bonding exercise for a couple to, you know, figure more out about each other is what do you like? What do you like? And you bring it all together and you learn how to compromise and work together. Like, that's part of it. That's the main point of planning such an affair, is whether or not you can actually stand to like each other at the end of it, which some people do, some people don't. It's a good test. So far, John is not there to take the test. Nikki's taking it on her own, and she's just having a really hard time sort of coping with all the decisions and everything else that's going on. She's basically being crushed under the weight of the entire thing. So Bree and Brian are measuring things. Bree can't do simple math.
She really can't. And I know you can relate to that.
I can relate to that, but not on that level. She couldn't add 50 and 47.
Yeah.
Where I get into trouble is division and subtraction. That's where I get into trouble. Addition, I'm pretty solid on most of the time, and no comments. So anyway, Bree basically goes back into her sort of background where she really enjoys art. She used to draw and paint whenever she would get super stressed. And so, you know, she's really into the idea of having a beautiful piece of art for their home, because Nikki and John, if you look at the house in Tampa, they have lots of really beautiful art in their house, and Bree wants something similar. And so basically Bree is whipping out her objects to art from the antique shop she's showing Brian, and she spent $500, or she says $100, on an object that she could put paper clips in. So the context of that is the little cloisonne's little thingy that she bought was like $495 originally, but she claims she got it for like $100, and it's so she can put paper clips in it. And Brian's like, how many paper clips could you buy for $100? It's like years worth, a lifetime supplies worth of paper clips, and he hasn't even seen her use them.
Hasn't seen her use paper clips ever. And then she says the magnifying glass, and, you know, really can't do much with that. And then she doesn't want to show him the last thing because he's been making fun of her. She comes around and shows him the phone.
And he just laughs.
He just laughs.
And then
go ahead.
The best part is Nikki's like, why did you buy this?
And then,
you know,
yeah, go ahead.
And then she's like, why didn't you buy one of like the ones from the Ritz? Why'd you have to buy this?
And then Brian says, if there wasn't anything more snobby.
No, it's like, just when I think she couldn't get any more snobby,
yeah,
she gets snobby about your antique telephone because it didn't come from the Ritz. I love Brian in this episode so much.
This was my favorite scene in the entire episode. Like, Brian, legit, this was great. He was fantastic.
This is the moment where I'm like, how did Brian end up in this family? How did that happen? Exactly.
And she mentions she brought the phone because, you know, phones are going out of business because of iPhones.
No, honey.
Because the only phones that exist are iPhones.
No, honey, that's a good try. That's a good try.
That's a good break.
Pat
on the head.
Pat on the head. Good try. So
here's a treat.
We go back to wedding planning. We're in New York with Nikki and her wedding planners and Bree, and we're going dress shopping again. And rather than the big hubbub that we made the first time, it's a very simple, quiet affair. They go to Altier, and they basically get Nikki a designer wedding gown, because, of course, they get Nikki a designer wedding gown. What would you expect? So she tries on three very similar yet different dresses. The first one was sort of a blush dress where it had an illusion neckline. It was covered with flowers and had tulle. It's very pretty, and it was described as very sweet, which it was, but it was a little too sweet for her, a little too innocent for her. So the next dress she tries on is a little bit more racy, where we had, you know, a very deep V in the front. We had slits on the sides of the top of the dress, And I didn't get to see the back, but I think the back might have had been a deep V, if I remember right. And then it's sort of an asymmetrical cut skirt with multiple layers, and it was had gold on it. It was very, very much what you would expect Nikki to wear. And she looked good in it. Damn good in it.
Yes,
but
she did.
But she liked it. But she wasn't like, yeah, no, this isn't it. This isn't what I'm wanting. And then she comes out in the third dress, which is a beautiful lace sweetheart neckline dress. Very nice. It's a sort of like a ball gown, but it's not like a big poofy ball gown. It's kind of like a cross between a ball gown and like an A-line. It's like a baby ball gown, if that makes sense. So she's in that. It's all beautiful. And then on top of it, it has a matching, what you would essentially call a modesty cover, which gives it more of a boat neckline where it has 3/4 lace sleeves. It's very, very pretty.
Everything just said overhead. Continue on.
So the third dress is supposedly the winner. I would be actually curious to know if that is actually her dress. She looks stunning in all three, but I think probably the third dress is the best choice. We'll have to see, because it's nice because she can have it modest for the ceremony, and then she can have just the sweetheart neckline and the exposed shoulders for the reception if she wants, so she can get multiple looks out of it. So she goes with a much more classic look for her wedding, which, go her.
That's what you want. You want to be more of a classical look.
And then we get the bombshell of bombshells. Now remember, Nikki has 10 bridesmaids, not including Brie, or maybe including Brie.
No, without Brie, because she's the maid of honor. Bridesmaids are different than the maid of honor.
So she has 11 total in her party. Nikki decides she doesn't want bridesmaids. She only wants Brie as the maid of honor, or she wants 2 maids of honor, and that's it. That's all she wants. Now, mind you, Nikki has again texted their entire group asking them to be bridesmaids. They're all excited. It's 8 weeks before the wedding. And yeah, Brie's like, do you think about this? And she's like, yeah, I thought about it. I've decided I don't want bridesmaids. It's going to get awkward, y'all. So then we're going to kind of cut over to the Mama Bella storyline real quick, which is like a mini plot. So we're just going to do the whole thing right now.
All
right,
before you start, Daniel Bryan is an awesome human being. Continue.
He is an amazing human being. So basically, Kathy has anxiety about riding in the car with heights and going over bridges. She does not like it. And so they're giving her crap for the fact that she has anxiety in the car. And they just, JJ and John E. Laurinaitis.
Big
Johnny decide they're going to cure her of her anxiety. And Brian's in the car with them. And Brian's like, as someone with anxiety, I don't feel like these two are exactly qualified. And so they decide to get Kathy a car that had, basically it's like a driver's side car where it's got the brakes in the passenger's footwell is what that are tied to the driver brakes. So basically you can stamp on the brakes in the passenger footwell if you need to. So it's like a student car, basically. And Johnny's like, you know, every time, you know, you backseat drive me, I'm gonna hit the brakes for everything that you would give me crap for just to show you how annoying it is. And Brian's like, please be mindful that I have neck issues, because he's in the back. And then they start like slamming on the brakes and pissing her off and annoying her. And Brian's like, you know, I get that they're trying to help her, but I really don't feel like taking her like in the most high stress situation that you can think of
is the best idea. So Mama Bella does not like heights, driving, or even flying. She has all the anxiety over it. We learned Dana Bryan has a fear of heights as well. But just to go back to Big Johnny and Laurinaitis for a second, him being so over the top about it was tremendous. It was great. I enjoyed it. He is so hysterical on this show. Like, his dry sense of humor and the way he does things is great. I enjoyed Big Johnny on this show.
He was good on the show, but he almost got smacked.
Oh.
Several times.
He should have been smacked, like, several times, but it's fantastic to watch.
It is fantastic to watch, but, you know, yeah. So, anyway, Mama Bella and Brian kind of have a talk, and basically he tells her that, you know, he wants to help her with her anxiety because he has anxiety. And this is where he admits, like we said, that he does have a fear of heights, and it doesn't bother him while he's wrestling. But outside of wrestling, he does have a problem. So they decide together that they're going to go do indoor skydiving, which is a really cool idea. And it was like, I wanted to try that. And I was looking at it, I was like, that looks like a lot of fun.
It did.
And they were both nervous. They were both anxious. But, you know, it's like they had an instructor with them and Brian got in there. And once Brian got started, he was okay. And Mama Bella got in there and she had a little trouble. But once she got in there, she was okay. And she was like so like relieved by the time it was over that she hugged the instructor. And it's just a really sweet bonding moment between Brian and Mama Bella.
Brian is a great human being.
Brian is a wonderful human being and a really good son-in-law. Really, really sweet son-in-law. So now we go back to wedding planning, the bulk of the situation. We basically are with, again, we're still in New York. We're with the wedding planners and we're looking at the different invitations and what they basically have two art boards for Nikki to look at, with two very different style of invitations and RSVPs and all this other stuff that goes with a wedding. And she's just kind of like getting overwhelmed because then they're like, you have to pick the music and you have to pick the flowers and you have to, you know, pick the overall look of the wedding. And then, you know, are you guys doing traditional vows? Are you, you know, saying your own vows? Yada, 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 yada. And the most interesting thing that came out of this was like, John Cena wants to say traditional vows. Because in his reasoning, he can tell Nikki how he feels anytime.
Okay.
I just sat there when she said that and I was like, so of course.
We've learned he's going, if this ever does take place, he's going to put on his tux and show up, take off his tux and leave.
I mean, and I don't mean to sound so catty about it, but it's just like, that is like, so wait, so you're marrying this woman who is supposedly the love of your life that you cannot live at without, that you have literally bargained a child into this to marry her. Right? Like, that's where we are with this relationship. You have put a child into this bargain so you can marry her. You're not planning your own wedding with her that we are seeing. Now, he could be a part of it less actively on the side. They could be texting and emailing. I'm sure they were. But, you know, for the most part, for at least for show purposes, he's not there. And then it's like you can't proclaim and profess your love for her on your wedding day. Instead, it's for richer, for poorer, better, for worse, till death do us part, kiss the bride, peace, I'm out. Like, that's what that feels like.
You forgot one part.
What?
You can't see me.
I mean, I was just, I don't mean to sound horrible about it, but it's just like, I just kind of shook my head at that, where it's like, he wants to keep it traditional. And I think Bree's face sort of, like, echoed my own sentiments in that, where Bree's like, yeah, okay. So anyway, the other side plot to this is Bree is continuing her shopping, and she's feeding her art bug. And so they go to this gallery, where an artist is painting with her fingers, and it's basically JJ makes a crack about finger painting, and then they show him a picture of her work, and the artist's work is very, very stunning. I didn't get her name, but she does some really cool stuff. If you watch the episode and have her name, please go check her out. However, her work is a little expensive. And they start talking about Bree, you know, this one in particular picture of a golden retriever with a tennis ball in its mouth and how Brian would love it. And the person that's running the gallery is basically like, yeah, that's a commission. And Bree's like, oh my god, what a great idea. Let's get a commission. And then they tell Bree it's a minimum of $32,000 for a commission.
Side note, JJ showed up and he wanted a drink. So that was his favorite part. Drink him.
Yeah, basically, they're in the car and he asks if there's drinks. And Bree's like, it's not a gallery opening. And then when they get there, the person in the gallery's like, oh, do you want mimosas?
And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now. Anyway, continue.
So it's $32,000 for a commission, starting point for a commission painting, and you have to put $10,000 down up front. Okay. And Bree's going to do this without telling Brian. I should add that in before I go off.
It's a surprise.
It's a surprise. All hell's about to break loose, y'all. All hell's about to break loose. So I recently went on a trip to Asheville, which is, if you've never been, it is a huge art community. If you're into that kind of stuff, I strongly recommend you go. I can give you a good hotel recommendation. For $32,000, you could get more than one piece from an artist in Asheville or really anywhere. You can shop artists. I mean, granted, what this woman does is very beautiful work, but $32,000 for a commission? Get out. Just get out. I'm sorry. That's obscene. That's like, that's just really, really obscene. I mean, just, yeah. And I've seen some really expensive art that's just, no. You could shop artists and you could get something equally as nice and probably equally as good, if not better, for less money than that. Not to insult the artist, but just saying, $32,000, unless that's the gallery's cut included in that, which I would suspect it is, because there is obviously markup in that. But yeah, no, that's minimum, I should add, 32 grand minimum. That is a car. That is a nice car for 32 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. And Bree is going to do this. Bree is essentially going to purchase a very nice car that they can hang on their wall and not tell Brian.
Well, you see, in 2018, there's something called modern technology on these phones, like iPhones and stuff. We have apps. And you get your emails sent right there. Especially when people spend a boatload of money and certain people think it's a fraud charge.
Yep, so they're back at the house. Brian is playing with the Go Bone, which is a robotic bone.
For $200.
That he got for the dogs.
$200.
Birdie loves it. The dogs not so much.
It's $200.
$200 versus 10 grand. There's not even a comparison. And I'm...
No, there is a comparison because you can buy a thing for $5 and he spent $200. I'm just saying.
The thing for $5 is not a Go Bone. It's not robotic. You just throw it.
That's the same thing this is doing. You can buy a ball for $2. It rolls too.
It's not a remote control bone.
It doesn't matter. It rolls.
So. I'm fairly sure Bree not only knew about the Go Bone, she was on board for the Go Bone.
I'm not saying that.
I would even bet she was there when it was bought.
I'm just comparing pricing. It's the same percentage. Continue.
$200 versus $32,000 for a painting? Just not even.
It's the same percentage.
No, it's not!
Yes, it is. The markup is so much more on the... Actually, it's more. The percentage up on the getting a bone compared to a painting, the bone costs a lot more. Brian, and percentage-wise, Brian spent more than she did.
You're just really trying to be right now, aren't you? You are so reaching.
Well, I am right.
You're reaching.
I'm right.
Anyway, moving on. Because I'm not going to get in a math argument with you. Brian gets a fraud alert on his phone. And he mentions it to Bree that he's like, oh, hey, look, somebody tried to charge like $10,000 at an art gallery. And Bree's like, oh, yeah, no, that's not fraud. That was me.
Brian's like, whoop.
Yeah. And she's like, well, you know, that was just like, you know, a down payment.
Actually, it's not what. It's Brianna.
Yeah, and then she fesses up that that's just the down payment for the $30,000 painting that she bought.
Brianna.
And Brian's like, are you kidding me with this crap right now? And she's like, I just saw... And then, you know, we go to the cutaway. And Brian's like, you know, if she wants to get in touch with her art side, that's cool. But, you know, maybe she should just do it and not buy it. And then he goes, imagine what if I spent like $30,000 on a book. And Bree's like, yeah, I'd be pissed. And, you know, then Brian's like, if you want to buy art, that's fine, but we should have done it together. And then Brian blames Nikki because Nikki inspires Bree to buy into stupid things.
Not a lie.
Not a lie. Not a lie. Again, speaking of Nikki.
Again, Daniel Bryan, the best part of the show.
Seriously, best part of the show. So Nikki kind of feels alone because, well, she is, and she's not really having fun with the wedding planning and some... old feelings and old problems are kind of starting to rear their head again. You can see it in her behavior and in, you know, the way that she's talking. She's really not happy. So Bree and Nikki are at the beach. Bree is worried about her sister. They're talking. And Bree basically steps up to help Nikki.
She's taking full control.
So she starts asking the questions. Do you want a large wedding? Do you want a small wedding? What do you want for Paris?
So it's small, intimate wedding. She wants tea time in Paris. She wants champagne. She wants Eiffel Tower.
You know, do you want bridesmaids? Or do you not want bridesmaids?
She wants two maid of honors, no bridesmaids.
So basically, Bree's going to step in and take care of the wedding. But in terms of the bridesmaids, Bree is not going to do the dirty work. Nikki has to tell them herself, which Nikki just wanted to text them. And Bree's like, no, we're having dinner with them. So we go to the dinner and Bree just goes like right in. And that, you know, basically the excuse is that, well, it just got to be too much, that it wasn't feasible. It wasn't logistically possible to have 10 bridesmaids. And that, you know, it's time that they have to be adults and they have to be honest and they all have to grow up. And this is where Nikki has to fess up to the fact that she's not having bridesmaids. Now, there's only 2 of the 10 here.
But these seem like the 2 important ones.
These are the 2 that they're closest to. These are their 2 BFFs. Nikki explains it as, you know, basically she was only going to have 2 bridesmaids, and then it sort of expanded because she was trying to make everybody happy. And now, this is where it's interesting to see how people react to things, because there were the 2 that were with them, one was like a brunette in a hat, and the other one was a blonde. The blonde was sitting next to Nikki, and she was like getting just like really pissed that she got cut out of the wedding. And she's like, well, why didn't you just stop it too? Why did you keep going? And why, I think she even said, why can't you go back to that? Didn't she?
Yeah, she makes it clear. Like, you can do whatever you want. It's your wedding. It's like, they all wonder why Nikki always just goes the extra mile. And they realize that she always goes that extra mile. Now, you can go and do whatever you want. This is your wedding. They understand. Will they be upset? Yes. But it's her wedding.
It's her wedding. And the friend in the hat was very understanding. The blonde was less understanding. She was pissed. Because she's like, I'm not mad. You lie. You so lie. She was not happy.
No, she was not.
But it's like, ultimately, you have to get over it because it's not your wedding. So Nikki says that, you know, the wedding is like a job and it's not, you know, as exciting about losing her virginity or moving into someone's home. And then everybody's like, well, how exciting was losing your virginity? My God. And Nikki's like, no comment. And that's pretty much how we end the episode.
She was like, it was not even like no comment. It's like, you know, the build up to, you know, finding that person. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that. Yeah. So that's kind of where we end the episode, is Nikki, the girls at dinner, and basically everybody understands, and we're still full steam ahead for the wedding. And more importantly, the bachelorette party.
Which happens next week.
In two parts.
Two parts. So we have two episodes of the bachelorette party in Paris, because that's where everyone has it.
Yeah, that's the to-do thing, is to have your bachelorette party in Paris. Totally. I'm going to have two. Not really. Can't afford that. But yeah, so no, I think
you'll have two, one at the Applebee's and one at the TGI Fridays.
Is Applebee's still in business?
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
Like I think all the ones around here have closed.
They just reopened one around here because it burned down because of a fire.
Oh.
Never been.
It's okay.
That's what I've been told. Anyway, that's beside the point. Applebee's, if you like the sponsor of the show, feel free to. Anyway,
so yeah, so that does it for episode 7 of Total Bellas, and we will be back with episode 8, The Bachelorette Party, part 1. It's a two-parter, y'all. A two-parter. Let that sink in. But you got stuff to plug.
Make sure you check out The Rack every Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's Rack Radio Show on the Facebook, Twitters, the Stitchers, the iTunes, the Google Plays, and Rack Radio Show.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LNSWRD, and you can go to my website, SecWordDesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at Behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitters. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. This has been the Rack Extra. Total Bellas right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll be back next week with the Bachelorette Party in Paris, part 1. Till then, bye!